Some of the old ones. Well, we're going to turn and read a couple of scriptures before we end this. Before we do, I just want to pray right now. Spirit of God, we ask right now that you just take this word, Lord, and make it an anointed word and an engrafted word. Word that actually becomes a part of who we are. Your word says that the word of God, it is alive, it is quick, it is powerful. Divide spirit and soul. Father, it is the seed of God, the very seed of God, the Zera of God itself. And so we ask you to anoint this word by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you something as you study history or anything? Do you know if you go to Saudi Arabia, there are no churches, Christian churches in Saudi Arabia? How many know that? The Bible's not even allowed in Saudi Arabia. There are no synagogues in Saudi Arabia. You go to United Arab Emirates. You go to, that one where they're building that real tall building, tallest building in the world. Is that the Arab Emirates? So you have all these places in the Arab world that you can go, and there's no Bible, no Christian churches, no synagogues. Selah. Okay, now I'll get to the sermon. I'll get back to that. I will get back to that. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 3. And I want to read a scripture in relation to how many know that God has good for you? God has good for you. And I want to read in Ruth chapter 3. Starting with verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?" Everybody say, rest for thee.
Rest for thee.
And that it may be well with thee. May I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz your kindred, whose maidens thou wast with? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, anoint thyself, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. Everybody say, get thee down to the floor. Get thee down to the threshing floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place. Everybody say, mark the place. Where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what to do. He will tell thee what to do. I want to turn to Exodus chapter 33. And God had asked Moses an interesting question. Moses had asked God, an interesting question. He asked God, show me your glory. He asked God, show me your glory. He said, I've seen your acts, I've seen your power, I've seen all that you did to the nation of Egypt. I saw what you did bringing us out of the nation of Egypt. I've seen your miracles. He said, I want to see your glory. In fact, David says later in Psalms, he says that God spoke with his other prophets in dreams and visions, but with Moses he spoke face to face. Everybody say face to face. So in this relationship that God had with Moses, Moses said, I want a deeper relationship with you. I want to see your glory. And so in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, and he said unto the Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And here's God's answer to that. Because most people have a misunderstanding of the glory of God. They think it's lights, they think it's this, they think it's that. I'm going to read you what the glory of God is. Moses says, God, show me your glory. And God says, okay, I'm going to show you my glory. And this is the glory of God. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. The glory of God is his goodness and his holy name.
Amen.
That's the glory of God. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
He said, you want to see my glory? He said, my glory is my goodness. My glory is my goodness. How many know that God is good? And in that saying, you know, we think that, well, you're never going to have any issues in life. I got news for you. Solomon said, man born of woman is going to have issues. That's what Solomon said.
That's right.
If you don't like that, take it up with Solomon, but that's what he said. And the reality is, yes, we have issues and vicissitudes of life, but God is a God that will see us through that. So when Moses said, show me your glory, show me who you truly are, he said, all my goodness is going to pass before you. Say it with me, God is good. The reality is that is the glory of God. How many know that there's power in the name of the Lord?
Yes.
There is power in the name of the Lord. And he said, my name is part of my glory. My name, Yahweh, is part of my glory and part of who I am. So God says this, and continuing, he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Let me read that again. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. What did Naomi say to Ruth? And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place. The place. Everybody say the place. There is a place in God, my friend. There is a place in God where there's the goodness of God, the glory of God, His name, His power, His might, and all that God is. There is a place in God of blessing, peace, prosperity, rest. May I not seek for you that it would be rest and it would be well with you. What an interesting thing. Naomi says, I want to see to it that you have rest and that is well with you. How many know that John, the disciple of Jesus, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he prays in John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, beloved, I wish, and that's the King James rendering. The real rendering is, beloved, I pray. I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God is interested in you body, soul, and spirit, not just spirit. God is interested in your well-being. And she said, maybe I need to see about your well-being, that it may be well with you and that you might have rest. Jesus said, all ye that labor and heavy burden, come unto me and ye shall find rest. Rest. What an interesting thing. I wonder what's going on here. Now, I asked you a question early. Why does Boaz not marry Naomi? She's kinsman also. How many know that the Bible says in Galatians that in the fullness of time God sent His Son? And in the fullness of time, you need to understand that the redemption of the Gentile came at a very exact and specific time on the earth. And it was God's intention that Jesus come at a very specific time. Whether you know it or not, God's timing in your life is God's timing, and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. There is timing that God has for your life, and there are appointed times and hours and events in your life that God said, this is my doing. And so anybody that is in a new season right now, this message is for you. This message is for you. One of the things you'll find out as you study the book of Ruth, you will find out in chapter 1 that Elimelech took Naomi, his wife, and his two sons, and the Bible says that he went into Moab. And so I just want to get this in your spirit. He lived in Bethlehem, the house of bread. The house of bread. Everybody say the house of bread.
The house of bread.
That's what Bethlehem means, the house of bread. The Bible says there was a famine in Bethlehem, and they left Bethlehem, and they went to Moab. They left Bethlehem, the house of bread. How many know that that's where Jesus was born?
Yes.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem. How many know David was born in Bethlehem?
Yes.
How many know Obed was born in Bethlehem? Jesse was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was an anointed place that God had where he was going to bring the lion of the tribe of Judah out through the line of David. And it came through this Moabitess woman named Ruth. And so the house of bread, they leave the house of bread. I got news for you. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is leave the house of bread. But I'm going to explain to you what the house of bread is. The house of bread. Naomi told Ruth, I need you to get down to the threshing floor. Right? Where what? You separate the wheat from the chaff. The threshing floor. And the Bible says that Naomi told her that Boaz himself would be at the threshing floor. Not his hired man. Not one of his servants. It was Boaz, the owner of the fields and the owner of the threshing floor himself, that would be in the threshing floor that night. Do you not know and understand there were other women in Bethlehem that understood Boaz would be there that night also? But the Bible says that you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. If you want a deeper relationship with God, trust me, it is available, but you must seek Him with all of your heart. I want to seek rest for you and that it may be well with you. Jeremiah prophesies that when you seek God with all your heart, you will find Him. Now, as to the question, why did Boaz marry Ruth and not Naomi? How many know that Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the law? I haven't come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets. That's what Jesus said. I didn't come to destroy the law. So how many know that Boaz represents Jesus Christ? The law of Israel said that Ruth had married an Israelite, Mahlon. He was Elimelech's son. He was of the tribe of Judah. And Elimelech had passed away. Mahlon and Chilion had passed away. And Ruth was left a widow, but she was left childless. Okay. So now if you go back to Deuteronomy and you go back to Leviticus, you will find out that any Jewish woman that is left childless, that somebody in the family has to take her as wife to raise up seed for the one who died with no seed. To raise up a lineage for Mahlon. That was the law. That was the law. Naomi had been married. She had seed. She had had children. The law said that if you're going to redeem Naomi, you have to redeem her whole family. You don't just get to buy or redeem Naomi. You have to redeem all that is Naomi's. It's in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. So do you remember when Ruth, she comes into the threshing floor? And Boaz tells her something interesting. And I'm skipping some parts. But he said, let me go see if there's another that will redeem you. Because there is one before me. Do you know that man is unnamed? Do you know that man is unnamed? We know Boaz. We know Elimelech. We know Chilion. We know Mahlon. We know the names of everybody. But it says, he said, there's one before me, and I will see if he will redeem you. And he goes to that man, and it starts in Ruth chapter 4, and he says, woe unto you, and it doesn't give his name. And he says, would you be interested? Naomi has a field for sale. Would you be interested in redeeming? And he said, yes, I would. He said, well, that's wonderful. But if you redeem the field of Naomi, and by that, you have to also redeem Ruth the Moabitess. And he said, whoa, time out. Said, I can't do that. Who's this man represent? The law. How many know the law came before Jesus Christ? So Jesus came and fulfilled all of the law that the law could not do. And Boaz goes to this man and he says, will you redeem Naomi? Oh yeah, I'll redeem Naomi. Remember, the law was given to the Jew, right? And he said, but you also need to redeem Ruth the Moabitess. He said, no, I cannot do that. I will not do that. How many understand that what God did here with Boaz represents God redeeming Jew and Gentile with one fell swoop? Yeah. When Boaz married Ruth, he redeemed Naomi and he redeemed Ruth, the Gentile nation. God has redeemed the whole world in one fell swoop of Jesus Christ going to the cross and being crucified and buried and resurrected. And he just took care of everything in one fell swoop. Yeah. Jew, Gentile, anybody can be saved now. So it was complete and total salvation. Let me see if the law can do it. No, the law says I cannot do it. So what's going on here? Naomi's already been married. She already has children. She's been fulfilled in the law. But Boaz has to redeem it. And it's in Ruth chapter 4. You can read it there. That he must redeem what Mahlon did not do. So Ruth is not only a widow. She has no children. And God says, I'm about ready to fix that. How many know the Gentile nation, we had no children? We as Gentiles, we had no spiritual children in the earth. And God said, I'm going to redeem that and change that. So that it may go well with thee, Ruth. Ephesians 6:3 and Deuteronomy 5:16 said, honor your father and mother as the Lord hath commanded thee, so that you may live long on the earth and it may go well with you. Say, it may go well with you. Deuteronomy 12:28. Obey my commandments, I am giving it to you, that it may go well with you and your children after you. Say, go well with you. Apparently, God is interested in some things going well for you.
Yes.
Apparently. Jeremiah 23:7-23. I gave Israel this command, obey me, that I will be your God and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I've commanded, that it may go well with you. My goodness. Apparently, God wants it to go well. How many of you want it to go well with your children?
Amen. Yes.
I have no idea where you got that desire. That it may go well with you. I just quoted it, 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray above all things that it may go well with you. That it may go well with you. How, do you understand God wants it to go well with you? That it may go well with you. Ruth, I'm going to seek your well-being. I'm going to seek your well-being. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16-17, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. Do you know once Jesus had came and fulfilled the law? Do you know it was that point in time, instantly that point in time where God said, redemption has now come to the Gentile. The law had to be fulfilled before we Gentiles could be redeemed. The law, somebody had to come and fulfill the law of God.
Yes.
Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to fulfill the law. God said, I looked for a man. I can stand in the gap. I looked. I could find no man. God said, I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. I'll be the man. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Now redemption can come. Boaz said, I can't marry Naomi. I need to marry Ruth because she married a guy named Mahlon who was Jewish. And the law said that I must marry her and propagate seed for Mahlon who is now dead and raise up seed for the one who is now gone. So she, you understand, Boaz was fulfilling the law of God. Once he fulfilled it, he could marry. He could marry. And how many know you are engaged to Jesus Christ right now? You are the bridegroom of Jesus Christ. Men, I'm sorry, you just have to suck it up.
Yeah.
But we are the bridegroom of Jesus Christ spiritually, and I'm talking in the spiritual sense. And I always tell men need to learn how to be the bride of Christ, just as women need to learn how to be the sons of God. It's something that in spiritual you need to understand. So your redemption couldn't come until Jesus fulfilled the law of Israel. And Jesus does this in front of the elders of Israel in Ruth chapter 4, verse 2. Let's turn there and look. Then Boaz went up to the gate and sat him down, the unnamed man, and said, behold, kinsman of whom Boaz spoke, come by. And he said, whoa, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside. And he sat down and he took 10 men of the elders of the city, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto his kinsman, Naomi is come again out of the country of Moab, and she selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. And Boaz says, hold your horses. What thou day thou buyest the field, the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, which the law required. And the kinsman said, I'm not about to do that. He said, I cannot do that. I'm not buying that field and taking on that Moabitish woman. And he said, you'd redeem it yourself. He takes his shoe off and he does the deal in Israel of understanding that we have now done something in front of all the elders of Israel. Did Jesus fulfill the law in front of all the elders of Israel? Absolutely. 100%. He performed the miracles of God. He performed the word of God. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He did all of the things that the prophet said he was going to do. And the Bible said he that knew no sin, he absolutely had not sinned, fulfilled the law. And now redemption was available to Ruth. Or now redemption was going to be available to us Gentiles. And God said, I'm going to redeem everybody in one fell swoop. Jew and Gentile, everybody going to be redeemed. In this one incredible act of God grafting in Jew and Gentile and making us a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in Romans. So this is the story of God redeeming Jew and Gentile and the whole earth. And that's why Boaz couldn't marry Naomi. He had to fulfill the law of Israel, which said, if you, when he wanted to do that, he knew that Naomi was in a difficult situation. He wanted to redeem Naomi, but he could not do it without redeeming Ruth also. How many know that the power of Jesus' blood is big enough to wash Jew and Gentile and sinner and heathen and pagan and unholy and anything of this world? This is the goodness of God. Show me your glory. I'm going to show you how good I am. This is the goodness of God. I'm going to show you how. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. God so loved that whosoever believeth on Him. My good. How many know you're a whosoever? That now you are now a somebody. You used to be a nobody. You were just a whosoever. Now you are a son and a daughter of God. My goodness. This is all in Ruth. I thought this was just a cute little children's story. No, this is God planning redemption. If you look at the Bible and read the Bible, say the Bible, you will find out that Jesus is in the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. He's everywhere in between in every page. It's about Jesus Christ. So, if you are in a new season or a new time in your life, it's a new day and it's a new time. And this word and this sermon is for you because what does she tell Ruth? She said, wash yourself, anoint yourself, and raiment with thee, and get thee down to the floor. Get thee down to the floor. There is a place that you need to be. Wash up, anoint up, dress up. Put on a robe of righteousness. That's what it is. Wash up. That's the washing of the water with the word. Dress up or anoint yourself. That's the anointing with the Holy Spirit. Everything she's talking about here is spiritual. And yes, it has an application of you getting dressed up. But the reality is God wants you to wash up, dress up, and clean up. How many know that God is interested in your sanctification? Going to church is a process of sanctification. That's why you come to church. I'm not trying to get you saved again today. I'm trying to get you sanctified unto the Lord. There are some things in your life that God is waiting for a sanctified moment. Wash up, clean up, Ruth. Verse 3, Ruth chapter 3, 3. Here she goes. These are all spiritual connotations. Wash yourself. Wash yourself with the washing of the water with the word. Anoint yourself with the person of the Holy Spirit. Put on the raiment, the robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ has given you. And get ye down to the floor. Get ye down to the floor, but make yourself not known. You don't got to come into church and make yourself known. God will reveal who you are. Until He has done eating and drinking, that's talking about communion. Okay, it's not what you think it is. It's talking about communion. You remember when Jesus had the Passover meal with His disciples? They ate and drank and then they went out and they sang a song. How many know that we are eating and drinking with the Lord Jesus Christ? It always talks about communion. That's what it represents. Anytime you see Jesus Christ eating and drinking, it's talking about communion. And He says, I want you to get down to the place where He is. I want you to get down to the threshing floor. Everybody say threshing floor. Okay, now this is going to get deep today. Are you ready for this? Because this is going to be exhortation today. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place. Mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what to do. He will tell thee what to do. The threshing floor. What happens at the threshing floor? That is where the seed is revealed. That is where the seed is deposited. So they would take it in and they would either have cattle go around and walk on it, or they have people go around and walk on it, and they started separating the wheat from the chaff. They separated it, started separating the seed from the chaff. And they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would come at night in Israel, and they would do it at night primarily, and it would blow the chaff away. And what would be left? That they were after. Seed. That they were after, seed, the seed of God. Seed. How many know that everything in this earth that's alive comes from seed? Everything in this earth that's alive comes from seed. Everything. The threshing floor is where the seed is extracted. The threshing floor is where the seed is extracted. It is from the seed that it produces life. How many know that when you're eating a loaf of bread or whatever, it's coming from seed. It's not coming from the chaff. It's coming from the seed, the heart of the matter. The chaff is blown away. And in this, God is saying that in this process, the chaff, your past, your pain, your failure, your fault, all of the issues in your heart, God said, church is a place, the threshing floor is a place where God says, I provide a place to have circumcision of the heart, get rid of the past, get rid of the dross, get rid of all of the things. God said, the church is a place for your life to be convicted. Do you know it's only conviction that changes you? If you have no conviction, there will be no change. If you have no conviction, there will be no change in your life. It is conviction. In fact, the Bible says that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring conviction into our heart and lives. So the threshing floor is where the seed is extracted, where the seed is produced. The chaff is blown away. It's a place of separation. Spiritually, your past, it wants to separate your past from your present future. How many know you're living right now in your present future? It's where life is produced. It brings fruit to perfection. Do you understand Joseph didn't get ready to go in Pharaoh when he got in front of Pharaoh? He got ready to go into Pharaoh before he went in. Naomi, I want you to get ready before you go to the threshing floor. Naomi, I want you to get ready before you go to the threshing floor. Joseph, I want you to shave and clean yourself up before you go to Pharaoh. How do you get ready for church service? How do you get ready for church service? How do you get ready for church service? I'm just asking. I know the answer. I'm asking you the question. The Bible says in Luke 8 that the Word of God is the seed of God. In fact, let's turn there. Luke chapter 8. What do we get at the threshing floor? Seed. In the discourse, Jesus is talking about the parable of the seed. And in verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Where do you get the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The threshing floor is the church. The threshing floor is the meeting place where Jesus Christ is. The threshing floor is where the seed of God is. The Word of God is. It's the church. That's the threshing floor, brothers and sisters. And now I'm going to get really in your mess, and this might upset some of you, but I don't care. The threshing floor is the house of God. It is where Boaz resides. It is where Boaz is taking care of the seed. It is where Boaz meets with you. It is a place, according to what the Bible said, that he will lay his covering over you. How many know that there's a covering being in church? There's a covering being in church. One of the worst issues I've ever had in my life is when I got out from underneath my father's covering because I was mad or about something, and I got out of his covering, and I had hell wholesale in my life because I got away from my father. There's a covering in being in church, spiritually. Have you ever noticed that when you all get dressed up in the morning, one of the things Satan will do with you is mess with your head about going to church on Sunday? He will. And he will work on you to find any way possible to keep you from coming to church today. Ruth, you get all dressed up, but get yourself down to the threshing floor. The problem is many Christians are dressed up, but they're messed up because they don't go to the threshing floor on Sunday. I'm going to go deeper. I got a text from a lady. I'm going to pray that God would anoint you to preach the truth of God's word today. Oops. Okay. So wash up, Ruth, anoint yourself, dress up, and get down to the threshing floor where Boaz or Jesus Christ is. Ruth, you need to be prepared for something that has not happened yet. You need to get prepared, Ruth, for something that has not happened yet. The reason that you're here today is God is preparing you for something that has not happened yet. But my question today to you, are you prepared? And say, well, Pastor, I'm going to throw my age at you. God will throw it out the window. Moses was 80 when God chose Moses. Joshua and Caleb were 80 when God chose it, Joshua and Caleb, and said, you're now in charge, boys, go for it. Amen. 80 years old, don't give me age. God does not discriminate on age. Nobody ever get to choose God, excuse God of that. But are you prepared for what God wants you to do in the next season of your life? Ruth, are you ready for what God wants to do? Are you ready for what Boaz wants? Are you ready for this incredible blessing that God has for your life? Ever since Mahlon died, you've been wondering, no children, I have no blessing, I have nothing, I absolutely... But God's had a plan for you the whole way. But are you prepared for what God's about ready to do? Are you prepared for what God's about ready to do? Are you prepared? It's a question I'm asking today. Are you prepared for what God's ready to do? The threshing floor, brothers and sisters, represents the house of God. What do you get a threshing for? Seed. What did Jesus say in Luke 8? The Word of God is seed. The Bible says that blessed are those, are the feet of those that bring the good news of the gospel. The Bible said blessed are those that bring the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's part of the helmet of salvation. If you look in Ephesians chapter 6 and look at the weapons of our warfare, it's the Word of God. The reality is you don't have time to get ready when the event happens. You need to be ready. The threshing floor is a place of instruction. Is a place of worship. It's a place. The Bible says that when Mary and Martha, when they found Jesus and they found out who He was after He had risen from the dead, the Bible said they fell at His feet and worshiped Him. Here in Ruth, it says, go lie at His feet. Go lie at His feet and wait for Him to tell you what to do. If you're wanting God to tell you what to do, I'm going to tell you, you'll find it at the threshing floor when you're worshiping at His feet. You'll find it at the threshing floor when you... I appreciate those writing this down. I appreciate this. You'll find it at the threshing floor at His feet. It's a place of instruction. It's a place of worship. The Bible says that when seed that falls on good ground, according to Luke there, it says some people, the Word of God falls in their life and they never bring any fruit into perfection. In fact, let's read that. That's so profound. Luke chapter 8. Let's go back there. If you've ever been a farmer enough or whatever to try to harvest fruit or grow crops, there's nothing more frustrating than not having it come to perfection. In the parable of the seer, now verse 11, now the parable of the seed is this. The parable, brothers and sisters, the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are those that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, for which a while believe, and in time temptation fall away. And that which falleth among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, are choked with the cares and pleasures and riches of this world, and bring no fruit to perfection. But on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. How many want to bring forth fruit that is perfected? The perfected fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready to go deeper? Are you ready to go deeper? You need to prepare in the direction that you're going. I ought to be able to look at your preparation and see your destination. I ought to be able to look at your preparation and see your destination. It should be all over you. Doctor goes to medical school, right? Does a doctor go to medical school?
Yes.
Well, theoretically, we hope so. Theoretically, we hope he studied. Does a lawyer go to law school?
Uh-huh.
An engineer go to engineering school? So where's the saint of God go to school? Do you know a saint of God is the most important calling on the face of the earth? Not a doctor, not a lawyer. I got news for you. A saint of God can change history, can change destiny, can change the lives of family history. When my granddad got saved, we went from a bunch of raging alcoholic fighters, bar brawlers and everything, to a family that started producing pastors and Christians and men of God. Don't tell me one man can't change history. I've seen it in my own family of what God can do with one man. See, a saint understands this is the seed of God. This is the zera of God. This is the seed that produces life eternal. This is a seed that changes everything. How many believe this is the Word of God?
Amen.
Absolutely, you believe it 100% this is the Word of God.
Yes.
All right, then I'll just look you in the eye and tell you, do not forsake the assembling as some do. Oh, you believe the Word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But I'm going to turn to Hebrews at the end of this, and I'm going to show you something, because I'm going to tell you something right now that you never have been taught. Never have been taught. Do you remember when I asked you at the start of this sermon, were there any churches in Saudi Arabia, Christian churches? There are none. There are none. Zero, trust me. I work with a man that worked there. Spent many years in Saudi Arabia. There's no Christian churches. You can't even take a Bible in. They're afraid of a Bible. They're afraid of a Bible. My goodness. It's amazing. I thought the devil, he's afraid of the Bible. There's no synagogues, no churches. The Bible says that in the time of the judges, that Elimelech and his family went to Moab, Saudi Arabia. No churches, no synagogues, no Sunday service. There's a time you can get frustrated with God. It's a time you can get frustrated with church. And the trick of the devil is to walk out, leave church, and go out in the world and let the devil lead you astray. Oh, you're not living in sin. You haven't gone crazy. You're not back in the bars. You're not back in the whorehouses. You're not back in the world. You're not doing the crazy stuff you used to do. But the trick of the devil is to get you out of church and get you away from the anointing of the church, the covering of the church, the seed of the church, the word of the church. I see it hopping all the time. I've been in church all my life. All my life. And I've watched how the devil does this to people. They left Bethlehem, the house of bread, and went to a place that was barren spiritually. They left Bethlehem and went to a place that had no word, no church, no God, no worship, no word, no reading the Bible, nothing. Now I'm telling you, now I'm preaching truth. Now I'm preaching stuff John Hagee preaches. Maybe church is important. My goodness, maybe the house of God, maybe the threshing floor, the house of God, where the bread of God is, where there's bread, where there's life, where there's His Word, where there's His Spirit, where there's His covering. Maybe church is really important after all. Amen. What did she say? Get down to the threshing floor. But she said, don't go there till you wash yourself in the water of the Word. Anoint yourself with the person of the Holy Spirit. Dress yourself with a robe of righteousness. You're not just going to go down there and see Boaz. You're going to see Jesus Christ. When you come to church, do you come to see Jesus?
Yes.
That's who you should be coming to see.
Amen.
That's who you should be coming to see. That it may be well with you. And that you would have rest. That it may be well with you. That it may be well with you and you might have rest. Ah, oh, Pastor Steve, I didn't know. I thought this was just a cute little story. We told our Sunday school kids, patted them on the head. Said, that what a wonderful little story. The enemy will do anything he can to get you all dressed up. What if Ruth had got all dressed up but didn't go down to the floor? In fact, one of the secrets of Ruth is she says this to Naomi, all that you have told me to do, 10 things I will do. All that you've told me to do, Jesus, I will do. All that you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You all raise your hand when I said you love Jesus. You all raise your hand when you thought this is the word of God. They left Bethlehem for Moab. I'm just going to say it. You want God to honor your house? I do. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you want God to honor your house, honor His house. You want God to honor your children, honor His children. You want God to work in your marriage, work in the church. You want God to work in your life, work in the house of God. Woo! I tell you, this is the Word of God today and it's true. I have seen what church will do to people. Good and bad, yes, there are some bad. But a study was done in New England by the Barna Group, and they did a study on a bunch of different families out of New England, and they were trying to figure out why these families were successful versus other families in the same neighborhood, same school system, same colleges, but these families had unprecedented success with their children in relation to the lawyers and doctors and judges. And you know what the common denominator was? Church. Church. The threshing floor of God. Where the Word is. We're the seed of God. What is the seed of God? The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're on a precipice of you're walking into something new, let me tell you something. Let me tell you where to start. Start in church. Start in church. Start in church. Start in church. You got to find a church that has good word. You got to find a church that preaches the Word of God. You got to find a church that preaches the Word of God. Not pablum, not hearsay. You got to find a church that preaches the Word of God. If you're looking for a seeker-friendly church, this ain't your church. This flat out ain't your church. I can tell you there's seeker-friendly churches there. You can be in bars on Friday and Saturday night, sitting there at church on Sunday, and it's okay with them. They don't care. I care! I want what God has for you and the best that God has for you. I don't look down on those people, but I'm going to tell you, that's not God's best. And yes, you will hear that God loves you in that church. That's true. But a half-truth can be a whole lie when you don't tell them the truth is that God wants to change who you are. God loves you enough to change who you are, trust me. And I realize that, and I've asked the Lord, Lord, can't I just preach a seeker-friendly gospel that just welcomes everybody and we all hold hands and sing Kumbaya? And God said, that is taking my nation and this nation to hell. Seeker-friendly churches won't tell you the truth. If you're shacking, get married. The problem is you come here, you're shacking, I'll tell you, get married. If a man and a woman sit here with their arm around her, I will interrupt it. I will not endorse it. I don't hate them. I got news for you. God is looking for somebody to preach His Word again.
Preach it.
Lord, I know how to grow a church, brothers and sisters. I do. You preach what people want to hear. That's what you preach. And the Bible talks about that. And the judgment on pastors that do that is horrible. The judgment on pastors that do that, ouch! Ouch! It's brutal. But Lord, I know how to build a big church. I said, I'll tell you what, if you get everybody in your church to heaven, you'll be more successful than any man that has 10,000 people and only 9 of them go to heaven.
Amen.
Get yourself down to the threshing floor, Ruth. That's where Boaz is. What do we call this? We call this the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. It's important to be in church. The Lord spoke to me in my spirit. My children are cavalier about church. Didn't think much about that till I heard one of the most famous pastors in America say that the other day. And the Lord spoke that to me 10 years ago. Get down to the floor. 10 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, no, you don't get to change your preaching. You don't get to preach a friendly seeker. I'm not going to let you preach a watered-down version of the gospel. I'm not going to let you lie to people and tell them that God loves you and then say, and then it don't matter how you live. Yes, it does matter how you live. My God, my God, my God, I don't know who I'm preaching to. It matters how you live. The house of God is a place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. It's a place of sanctification. It's a place of covering. It's a place of intercession. And this is what I love about it the best. This is what Boaz tells Ruth. He says, I'll tell you what. Girl, you lay here. And I'm going to go intercede for you. Oh my God. You've come to me. In my house. On the threshing floor where the seed of God is. The Word of God is. You stay here and I'm going to go plead your case. Woo! God said, I'll intercede for you.
Amen.
That's a hallelujah.
Yeah.
You come to my threshing floor, lay at my feet and worship me. Watch what I do for you.
Amen.
I'm going to make you legitimate.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to make a Moabitess woman legitimate in the house of Israel. I'm going to make a Moabitess idolatrous woman legitimate in the house of God. I'm going to make a drug dealer, somebody in the world, drunkard, whoremonger. God said, I can make you legitimate in my house. You just stay at my feet and worship me, and I'll cover you. But I'm going to get up and go plead your case. How many really are appreciative that God is interceding for you, that you have a great high priest? that ever liveth to make intercession for you. And you have somebody better than Pastor Steve praying for you. And His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, El Shaddai. That is the one praying for you. I'm going to seek peace for you, Ruth. But I'm going to have you seek peace and rest in the house of God. Brothers and sisters, this is not a cute little story. This is God saying, I'm going to take a Gentile bride and I'm going to bring her into the house of Jesus Christ. Boaz. It's His house, His threshing floor. His seed, His word. His blessing, His covering, His prayers. And I'm going to make it legitimate. Wow. Wow. I want to sow peace with God. I want to sow love. I want to sow friendship. If I honor God's house, He will honor my house. If I honor God's children, He will honor my children. Help me understand that. It's important that I come to the house of God and honor you. You're a child of God. You know, if I honor you, God will honor my children. You know that? Don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. For as a man sows, therefore shall he reap. So if I want honor for my children, I'll honor God's children. How many know God's a God of reciprocity? God is a God of reciprocity. It's like Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down and shaken together. God says, it's going to be running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I want people to be good to my children. How many want people to be good to your children? So I'm good to God's children. I'm good to them. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm good to them. I try to be good to them. Do you have enough desire to see the welfare and the peace and rest and goodness for your children that you will give to others so that there's a recompense back to you? And this is not buying God. This is a loving relationship. Trust me, I have learned in marriage, where there's no reciprocity, there's hell on earth. Selah. I'm not kidding. I say marriage and I say that in weddings. There's hell on earth or heaven on earth. It's either one or the other. So I want you to look back at Ruth with me and see what Boaz did for this little Moabitess woman who represents me and you. Can I just ask you a question? This is free. I'm just throwing this in. All of the Gospels, the New Testament Gospels that tell us how to operate in the New Testament church were written by Jewish men. How many know that? Every one of your books in your Bible were written by Jewish men.
Yes.
And it was Naomi, a Jewish woman, telling Ruth how to approach Boaz.
Yes.
So it's the Apostle Paul telling you and I how to approach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's free. Yeah, you don't even have to pay for that. My God, do you understand? That's what she represents. That a Jewish person was going to tell Gentiles, this is how you get to Jesus Christ. This is how you act. This is how you walk. This is how you talk. My goodness, that's good news. Thank you, Apostle Paul. I love Apostle Paul. I love the Pauline epistles. I love what the instruction he left for us. But what's interesting to me is Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, all these examples of the Old Testament were for you. So that you can look at them and look back and see what not to do or what to do. He said, all these examples are for you. So I teach out of the old and the new. It's all Jesus Christ. In Haggai 4, 1, 1, chapter 4, or chapter 1, verse 4 through 11, God told Israel, He said, why do you worry about taking care of your house and my house lays waste? Read it. Read 1 through 11. God told Israel, some of the issues you're dealing with are because you have abandoned my house. God said, don't do that to me. Well, Pastor Steve, you're just demanding people come here for you. No, I'm not. I'm saying come here for yourself.
Yeah, right.
Come here for yourself. Hey, amen. There's seed in the house of God. Let's go to Ruth chapter 4. Call it Boaz. It might as well be called Boaz. Verse 11, and all the people that were in the gate and all the elders said, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. I've heard that somewhere in the New Testament. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. To the truth of God in Jesus Christ. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel. Oh my goodness. Make a Moabitess woman. Listen to this. This is the prophecy for the Gentile people. My goodness. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and God has called us to build the house of God, and do thou worthily into in Ephratah, which is Bethlehem, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. My good, God said, I've got seed in my house to give you seed. I've got seed to give you seed. The seed of this woman. My goodness, the seed of this woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. God has a plan for old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child. She laid it in her bosom and became nurse to it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born in Naomi. And they have called his name Emmanuel. My God. It says Obed. But do you not know it was a Jewish woman that cradled your Savior in her arms? Do you not know that? The seed of God, the seed of Abraham? My goodness. They shall call his name Obed, for he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Do you understand you're living for people past you? Do you understand you're living for people that are coming after you?
Yes.
You need to take it serious. You really need to take it serious. And Haran begat Ram. Ram begat Abinadad. And Abinadad begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. Do you know that your Bible in Matthew starts with David? And in Revelation, it ends with Jesus Christ. And God said, all of this starts at my threshing floor, where the seed of God is available. Where the seed of God, the Word of God is available. This is it. So that's why I encourage you to be in church. It'll bless you. It'll bless you. It'll bless you, I promise you. It will bless your life. But the most important thing is it'll bless your children's, children's, children. Okay, Lord. I'm just going to tell you this. How is it that my father and mother raised six children, never in trouble with the law? Never in any kind of trouble whatsoever. Because I made sure that we were at Boaz's threshing floor. And their children are in church. And their grandchildren are in church. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you how faithful God is to His Word. That's what I'm telling you.
Amen.
God is faithful to His Word.
Yes.
The Bible says fathers raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My son-in-law said, Steve, you're a man. You want my granddaughter? I said, you better believe it, dude. I want to anoint her with the Word of God. I want to pray over her. I want to read her the Word of God. I want to nurture her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord so that she'll know who Jesus Christ is. That she'll know she needs to be in church. And that granddaddy will make sure, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it starts at the threshing floor of God. Father, I pray and ask in Jesus' name you'd open hearts and minds to receive this. And Father, I understand it's exhortation. I get that. But Jesus, your whole ministry was exhortation. Your whole ministry was exhortation. The whole Bible is exhortation. So that it may be well with us and we have rest. And I pray for every person here today, Lord God, that it will be well with them. And they will find rest in the house of God at the threshing floor of Boaz or Jesus Christ himself. Where the seed of God is, the word of God is, the life of God is, the Zoe life of God is at the threshing floor of Boaz. If you receive it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, stand up for the blessing. This is God's heart toward you this Thanksgiving. We're blessed beyond measure in this nation. We are blessed beyond measure. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord. Yahweh Himself. Yahweh, God Himself. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And God said, if you'll put my name on your children, I will seek them into four generations. God says, I'll go after them myself because you've put my name on them. Put your name on your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren today. Put the name of the Lord on your children. You receive it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen.